Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Really sense the presence of Jehovah Shalom. You can be seated. Really sense the presence of God's peace. And He doesn't just give peace, He is peace. Hallelujah. I was thinking as I was driving in, it's so interesting that Pastor Nicole would lead that song, I Will Not Fear. Because I really feel, you know, as I was driving in, like the Lord was showing me that some people present in this service have almost shaken with fear this week. You've trembled. Panic attack or anxiety or difficulty, and that it just hits you just so strong, and it's just kind of, you just feel kind of not yourself, out of sorts. And I really feel like the peace of God wants to arrest that anxiety in your life. And all it is we just, you know, cast our cares and our anxieties on Him. We just release it. We just let it go. If you were holding a balloon that was filled with helium, all you would have to do is just let it go and it would float away. And that's what God wants to do. He just wants to take care, anxiety from you. You don't need to be troubled. You don't need to be fearful. Amen. Pastor Chris, do you have a prophetic word? Shall we do this before we pray? Or what do you say, what are you sensing?
Good morning, Gateway. This morning I was praying and I just said, Lord, what do you want to do today at Gateway? And I heard the words expectation. And I really sensed the Spirit of God saying that even as we sang this morning about an unstoppable God, a God who does miraculous things, that today I just really sense that the God that we serve is the same God who opened the Red Sea, who opened the blind eyes, and He's here this morning. And to encourage us to lift your expectation, because I hear the Spirit of God saying, I will meet you at your point of expectation. Believe that I'm here. Believe that I could work. Believe that I know every detail about your life and every circumstance you're going through. And I just really sense this morning that as we draw near, that we just raise our expectation. Yes, we may have gone through some battles.
Yes.
We may have gone through some circumstances this past week where we have a temptation to be discouraged, mm-hmm, because we don't see the manifest power of God. But I believe that before we leave today, that the Spirit of God wants to meet us. So Father, this day we just thank you. Let's just pray right now in Jesus' name that whatever point of expectation there is about you and the people around you, you never know who needs a miracle today. That Lord God, your power is real. Your grace is real. You're the one that calms the sea. Lord God, the wind and the wave, they still obey your name. And that the name of Jesus Christ, we speak to every storm in life this morning. We speak to every circumstance in life. We speak to every discouraging heart. That Lord, this is the day that you've made. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. Because Jesus, your joy is our strength. It's our hope, Lord God. And we expect great things this day in our lives because you're a good God in Jesus' name. How many believe that here this morning? Let's just give God praise for what He is and what He's done and what He can do for us. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, I want to welcome everybody. Grab a teaching outline off the chair next to you. Take a hold of that. That's got our verses, and it's our guide for this morning's message. We're beginning week number 5. We're in this very precious process of working our way through this beautiful book, The Inspired Life. And my mom called me this week, and she said, I read the book, The Inspired Life. She said, I love it. I said, Mom, you're my mom. Of course you love it. That's a, you know, she said, we want to take our whole Bible study through it. So thank you for all the great comments, and I've been hearing how God is using you guys in this. And so we're on week number 5. It's exciting. We're talking about God's dream for our future and working our way through the first 4 layers of this, and now coming to layer number 5, which is really about the word influence. It's really about letting our light shine for the Lord, shining in the darkness. So 2,000 years ago, a new rabbi, gathers a group, maybe a few hundred, maybe a few thousand, on a hillside overlooking the shining, sparkling Sea of Galilee on a day that I imagine was sunny because they were outside. And he began to share and he began to preach, and there, as far as the eye could see, dotting the outline of the Sea of Galilee, hills and hilltop villages shining in the sun. And Jesus is speaking in the natural amphitheater of this hillside, this brand new rabbi, kind of starting a quiet revolution, teaching things that no one had ever heard before, things that made sense, things that brought people peace and made people that didn't feel important start to feel important and dignified. And these were the words, part of the words, that he spoke to them on this day. He said to them, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine." Everyone say shine. He says, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." This might be a verse you have potentially heard hundreds and hundreds of times, but I pray the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see it in a fresh light today. That same Holy Spirit that inspired Jesus Christ to say these words would speak to you and show you what was in his heart and in his mind for those people and for us. Because sitting before him, we're not the doctors, we're not the lawyers, we're not the big shots of society. These were ordinary people. They were common people. They were farmers and shepherds and simple people, not highly educated. These were country folk. This was out in the Galilee, and these people had just kind of gathered. It wasn't in a big temple. It wasn't in a big coliseum or crusade. It was a simple hillside, and Jesus is there, and he's teaching, and he's talking to them, and he says what for them would have been a totally remarkable thing. "You are the great lights. You are the lights that will shine in the world." Us? We're just simple people. We're not big shots. We're not from the big city. He says, "No, you are that which will shine. You were born to shine the light of God throughout the world. And that through you, through your life, everyone will see. All people. Everyone will comprehend the brightness of your shining." This was especially surprising for them because in the days of Jesus, when somebody said a great light, right? They would be talking about the top rabbis of the day. Just like today, if we said, today in Hollywood, I saw a star. We wouldn't think you saw a star. You think we saw somebody famous like Tom Cruise or some movie actor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or I just saw the Rocky show last night, the newest one, Creed. That was a great one. Sylvester Stallone, you got to give it to the guy. He looks good, you know? 70 years old. He's a star. When Jesus said, "You are the lights," it was language like that. Only he was saying to them, you're the lights, not the top rabbis, not the big, well-known teachers of the law. He says, the emphasis is on you, that God is going to shine through you, and through you, all this light is going to be released until everyone can see what God is like. You are the big lights. You are the lights that God is going to shine, because the Father loves the world and he doesn't want to shine just a few rabbi lights on the world. He wants to release thousands. He wants to release all of his people to shine, to bless the world. He wants all believers to shine so that all people would have light. And here's a thought for us today, and I would like us to think this way in light of where we're going this week, chapter 5 in our book, and the things that we're looking at and discussing today, that the inspired life is not just God's dream for my life. Today, we stretch our hearts out a little bit wider. Today, we begin to believe something new, and that is that the inspired life is God's dream for all people. Hallelujah. God wants to shine his light through all of us to all the people in the world. Today, we are the light of the world. It's as if the Lord is speaking to us saying, "You're my shining stars. You're somebody that I'm going to use. You're somebody special, and I'm going to shine through you." God means to get his work done through you and you and you and you and you. And the kingdom of God today is not about the big shots on the platform. It's about all of God's people shining. So get ready to shine. And today, I want to just give you three simple lessons in light. What I see in these words that Jesus spoke all those years ago, what do I see? I see three lessons in light, and this is the first one. First, Jesus wants us to know that the world is in darkness. The world is in darkness, and of course, that makes sense, because what's the importance of light? What's the value of light if there isn't darkness? We're not trying to add more light to the light. We're trying to add light to the darkness. And if you think about this world, you know, I love to sing that song and at weddings and all that. What was it? The Louis Armstrong, "What a Wonderful World." And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. But in truth, there are wonderful things about life. There are wonderful things in life, the joy of living, but the world is not always wonderful. In fact, when Paul the Apostle described the world in spiritual terms, he said it's a place of great darkness. There is darkness in the earth. You think about how evil and spiritual darkness is increasing, how it's hitting the family, how it's hitting our nation. You think about things like war. You think about hatred, prejudice. I wish I could say that in this world, every child is perfectly safe, but they're not. I wish I could say that every woman is honored and valued and taken care of, but she's not. In this world, there is no disease. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that nations aren't rumbling and threatening against each other. I wish there was not hatred of the Jews and hatred of Christians. And I wish there wasn't beheadings. And I wish there wasn't vile diseases. And I wish there wasn't rampant crime and the most insane, hideous, crazy kinds of pornography and gross sins and things that just absolutely destroy people's lives. Human trafficking. I wish I could say that the world is a wonderful world. But the Bible view of the world is it's a broken place. It's a place where there is evil. It's a place where darkness has advanced. And so Jesus says, you are the light of a dark world. That you're something special. You're something rare. That there is a spiritual darkness and an evil that actually opposes light. It oppresses people. It endangers people. One of the qualities of darkness versus light that I think it's important for us to think about is darkness tends to produce death. Darkness is a death message. It's a death symbol, right? Because things in the dark really can't grow. It's only in the light that life is released. And so when Jesus was saying, you, not the big shot rabbis, you are the light of the world. What he's saying is you are health. You are life. It's not just illumination. You're something positive that brings life. And the light of Christ is what brings light to our lives. There's so many ways to illustrate this idea of light and darkness and death and light. But from my own experience, I have to tell you, maybe I've mentioned a time or two my vast love for the state of Hawaii. Have I ever mentioned that to you? I love to be in Hawaii, and for years and years, you know, my parents have a place there, and we've gone once or twice a year, and we just enjoy. I love the sun. I'm a sun freak. You can ask my friends and family and our staff. If ever we go out to lunch, I like to sit outside, and I like to get the, I just love the light. I love the sunshine. And I didn't really understand why so much. When I would go to a place like Hawaii or just sit outside at lunch and soak in the sun, I would start to feel like a brand new person. You know, I just love being in the light. And I thought, well, I'm enjoying this because I'm on vacation and it's laid back and this is nice. But then I took a blood test. My doctor gave me a blood test because he was looking for something and he found out I was vitamin D deficient. And so for me, what I thought was just the pleasure of being in the sunshine, just a preference, was actually giving my body life. Because I needed that vitamin D that sunshine brings. And actually, just being a person, sometimes you get in weather like this, and you know, it's easy to get moody. They actually talk about seasonal affective disorder, where people don't get enough sunlight, and it affects their mood. They start getting weird. emotionally because they're not getting enough light. Well, for me, it was vitamin D. And I'm only telling you that story not to get you thinking about Hawaii and get you depressed today. But to let you know that there is something in light that absolutely makes health and makes alive. Something that nourishes. And there's something about darkness that puts us like on starvation. And speaking spiritually, speaking emotionally and like who you are and where you live, when you are in the light, it makes you well. It makes you full of joy. It makes you strong when you're in spiritual light. And you can choose that light and you can experience that light. And the truth is, if you're here today and you can't say, I don't think I have light in my life, you can experience light. You don't have to stay in darkness because Jesus is the light. Look at what he said, John chapter 12. He said this, I have come into the world as a light. I've come into the world like a shining light. I give vitamin D. I make strong. I make alive. I release life. And I illuminate and I clarify. And in my presence, people understand what they didn't understand. And they see what they couldn't see. I'm light. And I've come into the world. And whoever believes in me doesn't have to live in darkness. They can make a move. And you know what? Today, I'm going to invite you. We're going to say a prayer at the end of the service. Maybe you're here today and you think, well, I guess I'll go to church. It's a good thing to do. I'll try to learn about morality and all of that. And I hope you'll learn something today. And we're sure glad you're here. But if you don't have light in your life, the most important thing you can do is open your heart to let the light of God in. Because light, it's not just illumination. It's not a transcendental mindset. It's a person. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. The life, right? He said, I come into the world like a shining light. And so we choose life, and we believe, and we receive life. And some of you that are here today, you can remember, I can. Can you remember your days before the light was turned on in your life? Can you remember that hopeless, weak feeling, that lostness, that groping around, that discouragement, that depression? I want to tell you, that's what you've come out of. You don't need to live that way any longer. People talk about Christians that are confused and Christians that are in darkness and Christians that are bound and oppressed. You don't have to be. You have access to light in your life. And there's something about the presence of Jesus that will light you up. Being in the presence of God will cause you to shine. Don't you remember in the Old Testament when Moses went up to the mountain of God? He was there for 40 days. He came down and he was lit with God's presence. They had to actually put a veil over his face because his face was shining. He had been in the presence of God. And they said concerning the disciples in the book of Acts, these guys must be followers of Jesus. We can look at their face and see that they have been with the Lord. There's something transformational that happens when you are in the presence of light. You open your Bible, you pray, you close your eyes, you spend time with God, you set aside a minute of your day, an hour of your day, and you soak up that light, and it changes who you are because he's not a philosophy. He's not a teaching. He's light. He will put the glow on the inside of you, and he will take you out of darkness and put you into a place like you've never dreamed possible. We can choose light. We can choose life. We just had a great conference here at the church this last weekend. It was for leaders, and it was our fellowship, our MFI fellowship. And we were talking about the church and culture and reaching a culture that's kind of lost. And one of the things that we came up with, something like this, kind of like, why curse the darkness when you can simply be a light? You know, a lot of churches have just decided to make war on the culture. They've decided their neighbor is the enemy. The school is the enemy. The government is their enemy. Everything is the enemy, right? And so we have to just tear it down, tear it down, tear it down. But, you know, that can get pretty exhausting. Why curse the darkness all the time? We're not of the darkness. We recognize darkness is there. But our job is not to curse the darkness. Our job is to shine like lights. Jesus said we are the light of the world. It is a dark world. There is evil everywhere, But we are the light of the world. That's the first piece. The world is in darkness. Now, here's the second part of this, which I think is very important. Jesus is on this hillside. He's teaching. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. In other words, the church, God's people, are a light. The world is in darkness, but that's not the way it's going to stay. Because the church has become God's instrument. It is his light. You are the light of the world. You say, but didn't we just read in John 12 that Jesus is the light? Isn't that what he just said? Who's the light? Is it us or is it Jesus? Well, this is interesting because Jesus actually is the light. So why is he telling us we are the light? Well, we are the light in that we reflect the original light of God. So Jesus Christ was on that hilltop. He did teach. People saw him. He came into the world. They saw his light, and he taught people, and then he died on a cross, but he didn't stay dead. Praise the Lord. He rose from the dead. Amen. And then what? He ascended, right? And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But in a way, he's not present as he was in the world, but he sends us. And just like at nighttime, when you can't see the sun, but you can see the reflection of the sun in the moon, the world can't always see Jesus Christ. But if we are carrying his presence, if we are properly reflecting him, then his light is shining through us into the world. Jesus is the light, but we are like the instruments of the light. We are the expression of that light in our lifetime. And it really is true as the church. It is glorious that we reflect, the church reflects the glory of Jesus and gives light to the world in that way. Let me take some pressure off you this morning. If you're thinking, man, I'm really under pressure to be like amazing. Jesus said I was the light and I got to like dazzle the world and I better come up with something. I better figure out how to be amazing. You don't have to figure out how to be amazing. He's the light. You're not the light. All you have to do is let him shine through you. Hallelujah. Doesn't that take a little pressure off of you? It's wonderful that who you are is beautiful as a carrier. And as a reflection of the Lord's love, when you're living a certain kind of life. And you know, the church has been doing this for thousands of years. The people of God, before it was the church, it was Israel. He said, I'm going to ordain you as a light to the nations. God has always shined through his people. And he still is shining through his people. You think about it. You should not be ashamed that you're a Christian. Oh, I know the culture wants you to keep quiet. They want you to take a seat, zip your lip, don't say anything, confrontational, don't talk about your faith. The world wants to size you down and utterly push mute on your life. And sometimes we feel like, man, we're Christians. It's like, you know, we're the bad guys. Isn't that the way the culture sometimes wants to frame us, right? Especially now, because the darker the world gets, there's a conflict sometimes between light and darkness. So let's think deeply about, is the church really a problem? Well, let's ask history. If you're a student of history, you'd have to recognize that throughout history, the followers of Jesus Christ have been the most instrumental in freeing slaves, protecting women, protecting children, protecting the dignity of the family, protecting the unborn, and elevating the rights of all people, elevating the rights of minorities, elevating the rights of the marginalized, the sick, the broken. This has been what the people of God have done. This is the contribution of the church and people of faith more than any other philosophy or religion. You don't see a whole lot of transcendental meditation hospitals or orphanages. But what you do see is you see the American Red Cross, the largest relief agency in the world, now the International Red Cross, started by an evangelical Christian. What you do see is the orphanages and the relief agencies and the hospitals and the adoption agencies and the food kitchens and the hospitals and the places that battle disease and starvation and famine. You see Samaritan's Purse, and you see the great efforts of Christian people, people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but whose faith informs them to get involved and make a difference. When a nation like Haiti crumbles under an earthquake, or when a typhoon is released and hundreds of thousands of people are destroyed, it's people of faith, it's Christian people, people that are driven by this book right here, that give the money. You don't see, look, I'm not here to slam other religions. That's not an attractive thing. I'm simply noting from history, you don't see a lot of Buddhist hospitals. You don't see a lot of Buddhist relief agencies. Why? Because some faiths will teach, this is your karma, this is your fate, just deal with it. But the Christian faith is the one that says, you can be a light. You can make a difference. You can be a neighbor. You can be a good Samaritan. This is our ethic. This is our ethos. And it's not just a few rabbis that do this. It's not just a few wild preachers that do it. You are the light. You are the church. You are a part of the greatest revolution that's ever touched this earth, a revolution of love, a revolution of compassion, and a revolution of care. You are the light that Jesus was speaking of. So never be ashamed of your light. Never be quiet about who you are and what you believe. You have nothing to apologize for. You are the light. And when Jesus said you're the light of the world, he wasn't pressuring you. He wasn't saying, now get out there and do something about it. What he is saying is there is dignity in you. There is something special about you. You see yourself as ordinary. You don't see yourself as a powerful person. You don't see yourself as an influential person. But Jesus said, I see who you are. You are the light of the world. He didn't say you should be the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. So shine. Be on fire with the light of what God has done in your life, the testimony that he's given to you, the victory that he has handed you in your life, and all that he has done for you. Let that shine. You may feel, I'm a weak Christian. I'm a defeated Christian. I'm here in this situation. I'm in a bad marriage. Man, my life has fallen apart. My money is a mess. You are the light of the world. And don't let the world and don't let the enemy shame you into silence. You're the church. You're the bride of Christ. You're that light that God has chosen to work through, and you are a carrier of that which can change the world. What a huge privilege. Look at what Paul said about the church. Look, I'm not a person that's going to bash the church. You hear this, you know, the church is hypocritical and this or that, but you better be careful how you talk about the bride of Christ. Right? Jesus loves the church, and he gave himself for the church. So honor the church, and the church is special. You're the church. I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about Gateway. I'm talking about the people of God. Let's not tear each other down and be ashamed of who we are. We should hold our heads high. Sure, the church has made mistakes. Sure, Christian people have erred throughout history. But on balance, they've been the light of the world to change history. Look what Paul said. He said, here's God's objective. That through the church, he intends now to make known, to make something known, his infinite and boundless wisdom to all the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. Remember when Paul was talking about the present evil that is in this world, the principalities and powers and darkness, that spiritual structure that's in the world. What he says also is this, that it is through the church that all of that is going to be shut down. That it is through the church that God's infinite wisdom and his total amazing plan for the world is going to be on display. It's going to be the undefensible argument against all that the enemy says. The enemy says people can't be forgiven. God says, take a look at the church. The enemy says people are no good. They're good for nothing. And God says, take a look at the church. The enemy says people can't change. They're worthless. Give up on people. And Jesus says, take a look at my bride. See them as the light of the world. Take that, Satan. Hallelujah. And that light is shining. And I tell you what, the world is getting darker, but the church is getting brighter. Can I have a hallelujah? And we're not where we need to be, but we're on our way. And God is ironing out every spot and every wrinkle. And he is perfecting. He said, I will complete that work that I began in you. He's going to finish, believe me. And every eye will see it, and every tongue will confess it, and every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, unto him be honor and glory in the church throughout eternity. Can I have a hallelujah? All right, so the world is in darkness. Who is the light? Thank you, all three of you. That was amazing. All right, I've been working hard for 20 minutes. The world is in darkness, and who is the light? We are the church, right? We're the light. All right, we're getting there. Good, good. A couple of years ago, I might have mentioned this to you. I got it in my mind that it would be a good idea to have a built-in generator at my home. Well, what got me thinking about it was I pass every day on, I live in Morgan Hill, and I pass this Metcalf power station every day. And some of you know, it was a couple of years ago, I think it was 2014, that shots were fired at that. That whole thing it was like a military operation. It's in the news, that they cut the data lines and they cut the power lines and took shots at it. It's classified as terrorism, actually, by the FBI. It happened here, but it's 2 miles away from here. And I pass it every day. And I was like, wow, what is going on? And then, of course, when the Super Bowl was here, thank God nothing happened. But there were threats. There's threats against the power grid and threats against the internets, right? And so I just thought, yeah, I don't want to be, let's say, for example, if it was August, it's really hot, 100 degrees outside. I don't want to be 3 days without power. I want to have a safe home. I want to have my air conditioner. I want to have my iced tea. I want to be, you know, and so I looked into getting a generator. I thought it'd be a good idea. And then, you know, it was kind of expensive. And I thought, oh, should I? And I went ahead and did it. And we just found the money, pulled it together and did it. And we had this nice generator. And it was kind of a deal with the city. And we had to pour concrete and, you know, just do it really nice and pipe it in and wire it in. It's really slick, all right? And it works really good. But afterwards, I thought, did I really need to do that? I don't know. Maybe I was just overreacting. And sure enough, like 2 weeks after we put it in, there was a power outage for 2 days. And that first night, the generator kicked, you know, the energy goes out and the generator just kicked on, and it was awesome, and it was at night. So here's my whole neighborhood. I mean, total soupy darkness, right? And here's Casa Canastracy in the middle of it, lit up like a Christmas tree, shining. And my neighbors were like, what's going on? They were all walking around with flashlights, right? They're in their garage, you know, trying to stay cool. Their house is hot, you know, they're fanning themselves with their flashlights and their little Coleman lanterns, you know, trying to just get through the night, whatever. And here we are, we're chilling. I'm drinking my iced tea. My refrigerator's on. It was awesome. I'm telling you that story because if you could see your neighborhood in the spiritual dimension of that, if you can actually understand that in you is light, and you have something, if your neighbors don't know Christ, you have something that they don't have. You have power and you have light. And God says, I want you to shine. You might be the only person on your block. It might be three blocks. I don't know. Pray for your neighborhoods. Reach out to your friends. You might be the one person in your office or on your campus or in that classroom that's actually got access to power. And here's what I would say. The world is basically in a spiritual blackout. They don't have the power that you and I have. So shine accordingly. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of what's on the inside of you. Just be what you are. Shine in this world of darkness because you are the church. Now, here's the last piece. Go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. If you want to clap, go right ahead. That's good. Thank you, the three of you. That's wonderful. This week in your Inspired Life group, I hope you guys are enjoying that. I've been seeing so many great testimonies, emails coming in and messages, people sharing in the hallways. They love the teaching. They love the book. They love the fellowship. It's so fun to do this. Thank you for opening your homes, and thanks for participating and doing all this. When you go into your group this week, you guys are going to dive a little deeper into this subject of light. And I would like for you to talk about your group as a light and what it can do as a group. How can we pray as a group? And maybe, does God even want us to continue as a group? If there's good fruit, if there's good things happening, maybe you wanted to do 6 weeks and that's all, and maybe that's fine. But some of you would like to continue. And you could ask yourselves a question: if we did continue, how could we shine? How could we be a light and a blessing for the Lord? I think that's something we should talk about this week. Now, here's the last piece of this. We know that the world is in darkness. We know that the church is the light. But here, number three, it's time for us to shine. This is the third lesson. It's time for us to shine. Jesus commanded us to shine. He said, be like that city. Be that light shining out in this dark world. This is what Christian people do. This is what our faith is all about. Look what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, you used to be like people living in the dark. And we all remember what that was. That was your old life. You're not in the dark anymore. You used to be there, but now you are the people of the light. Why? Because you're geniuses? Because you never make mistakes? Is that why we're people of the light? Because we're so brilliant? No. I mean, there's some brilliant people in this room. But the reason we shine is because we belong to the Lord. My wife said, somebody recently, their daughter, saw a picture of their daughter, and she said, she's pregnant. I said, how do you know that? She said, you just know. There's something about a woman who's pregnant. She just shines. And I thought, I got to learn how to do that, because that's scary. Is this witchcraft? What is this? How do you know this? Is this the power of Satan? How did you get that? And sure enough, she was pregnant. It was announced a few days later. It's like Paul is saying, look, there's something on the inside of you that is glowing right now. And you might not even know it, but there's a look to you. If you're really walking in the light, you belong to the light. You belong to the Lord. It's like a boy who just had his first kiss. He got a girlfriend. He's been lonely, awkward, acne all over his face. And now he found a girl that loves him. He just walks a little different. You belong to the Lord. And it should change the way you walk and the way you think about yourself. You're different. You're different. You're a child of the light. And he says, now you belong to the Lord. So just act like it. How do you act like light? You know, how do you shine? How do you do that? Do you walk up to your neighbor and say, hello, I'm the light of the world. I'm a born-again Christian. Is that how you shine? Talk about awkward. In fact, please don't do that, right? Here's how you shine. Do you want to know how to shine? You shine like a bird sings. It's the most natural, easiest thing. It comes out of your heart. You can't help but shine when you remember who you are. When you remember what Christ has done for you, there's a smile. There's a joy. There's a pause to help a weak person. There's a lift. There's a word of healing at the checker at Safeway or Walmart, my preference. Everything's $2. I love it there. So you have a minute, and if you're lost in yourself and you're thinking about your burdens, then you're in the dark place, you're not going to shine. But when you're walking in the light, it's just going to come through you. How are you doing? How are you? Oh, I'm glad. And so there's a light that shines through you. It's that act. It's that deed. You don't have to preach a sermon. Your life is a sermon. And it's not that you won't use words, because you will at times share your faith and give people details, but It starts with the kindness of Christ and the goodness of Christ coming through your life. Don't you understand? This is what he's talking about. Philippians chapter 2, he says, here's the life that you're going to live. You're going to live a clean life. You're going to live an innocent life. You're a child of God. You're pregnant. You got a girlfriend. Somebody loves you. There's something different in your life. You belong to God. Now shine like bright lights. What? Rabbi Jerry, the bright light. Rabbi Charlie, Rabbi Joanne, Rabbi Carol, the bright light. Shine like a bright light in the world. Because you're a star. You're reflecting something that's heavenly. You're a child of God in a world that is full of crooked and perverse people. We shine not by faking it. We shine not with our bumper sticker. We shine not with our put-on personality. And we sure don't shine by the pressure to be perfect. That isn't how you shine. You shine the way a bird sings. It just comes out of you. And it's real. It's unforced. It's genuine. It's called authentic light. Hallelujah. Let me just say this, and I'll tell a quick story, and then we'll pray together, all right? Are you guys having fun this morning? Even though you got one less hour of sleep, you seem in a good mood. You seem all right. Was it the coffee? It was the coffee, wasn't it? You had an extra shot. Okay. So we're talking about living that life that shines. Let me say this, the inspired life, what we've been studying for 4 weeks now, 5 weeks, the inspired life, God's dream for your future, is really not just about you. It's about God's dream for everybody. It's about a little word called influence, something that every single person in this room has. You don't have to go to a seminar to learn how to be a person of influence. You're already an influence. I'm looking at you. I see Christian school teachers here. I see parents here that are raising their children in God's house. I see doctors here that smile and take care of people. I see professional people, lawyers. I see laborers. I see people in the marketplace. I see family people. I see a candidate for city council. My good friend Steve Brown, who I'm going to introduce you to next week, running for San Jose City Council. I see all kinds of people here. And God has given you influence in the marketplace. He's given you influence in your neighborhood. And you're exercising that influence. You're leading a small group. You're working in the nursery. You're greeting at the door. You're loving people in your neighborhood. You're bringing food to a sick person in your apartment complex. You're gently resisting the pressure of this culture on the college campus. You're gently refusing to conform to what the world wants you to be. You're saying, no, I choose something else. And you're a person of influence. I want you to walk with your head held high. You're not the scum of the earth. You're the light of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the shining star. You're brighter than a rabbi because you've learned the law of the Lord. It's been written on your heart. Deep within you, God has put his law. He's put his love. He's put his nature. And this influence is all over you. So be the light that God has called you to be. I'll close with this story and then we'll pray. One of our people that started the Inspired Life group, like so many people, I think 80 some groups started. And a lot of them had never done anything like that before. And they were nervous and they were jumpy. And it's like, what's going to happen? What if nobody comes? What if nobody changes because of my group? What if I'm there by myself in the group, right? And she's a single woman, very quiet. I won't embarrass her by mentioning her name, but her initials are, no, I won't say that. She nervously said, yes, okay, I'll do it. And sure enough, people started coming to her group. Great things were happening. And then unsaved teenagers. Now, she's a middle-aged person. But for some reason, unsaved teenagers with deep problems, serious problems, addictions and sexual brokenness and all kinds of, and they started coming. And what started as, I don't think anybody's going to come, turned into two groups. So she now has the first group of the people that came, and she started a whole nother group for teenagers. She's a quiet person, and she's understanding that whether it's one people, two people, five people, that she is a light, she's an influence. One group or 12 groups, you are the light of the world. So shine. It's your time to shine. Will you shine? Come on, let's stand together. Come on, stand. So you're on that hillside. The sun is hitting you. You can hear his voice. He's talking to you. You feel bad about yourself, but somehow, because of the words that he's speaking, joy is coming back into your life. You realize you're not a mistake. You realize you're something special. Father, I pray that you would put inside of every one of us the shine of Jesus Christ, that we would carry, Lord, into a broken, defeated world something very special everywhere we go. Lord, use every last one of us for your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We are the light of the world. Sing it together.
We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. And we gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine.
Come on, sing it out.
We are the light of the world.
You just do something unusual. Just if you're standing next to someone, a friend, a loved one, just put your hand on them right now. We're going to pray for one another. Because I know the person who is standing next to you may be facing such a place of darkness. You know what I saw earlier in the service? Just prophetically in my mind, I saw like boats that the tide had gone out and the boat was just on dry ground. There are people in this room that you feel absolutely the tide has just left and you're high and dry. But I'm going to make a promise to you. As sure as the tide left, that tide is coming back in. And God is going to lift you and God's going to fill your life. And it may be for a moment that things are different and things are difficult, but I'm telling you right now, God is faithful. And his mercy is like a tide rising into your life. God's coming for you. And things are going to change. And Lord, we just bless one another right now. We just speak life and release, Lord, right now. Holy Spirit, come and release. And Lord, as we're praying, we pray for people in our family. We pray for people in our neighborhood that so need the light. They need the power. Lord, let every one of us be generators of hope and light and attention. Father, I pray that some people that feel like they're in darkness today, that, Lord, you would break that darkness and you would draw them into light, Lord. You would draw, Lord, all people, everyone. Everyone will see, Lord, who you've created us to be, Lord. Not for our sake, but for yours, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you know that person, high five them, fist bump them, elbow bump them, hug them, thank them for their prayer and say, wow, I wasn't expecting that, but that felt all right. That was good. That was nice. Okay. All right, here's what we do. I'm going to speak a blessing over you in just a minute, but I want you to say a prayer. It would be so heartbreaking to me if there was somebody here that left with a question. And the question is, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know if I have the light. I don't know. Jesus did die. He did rise. He is God. But how do I know him? You know him through prayer and you open your heart And I mentioned earlier in the service that you'll say a prayer. We'll all say this prayer together, and you'll leave with a brand new life. I believe your miracle starts today as you pray. So everyone, can we say this prayer aloud together? Here we go. Father God, there is nothing in this dark world that gives me life like Jesus. Thank you for sending him, come on, to save me. Lord Jesus, I want your light to shine bright through me. Be my Lord and Savior and use me to influence the world. In Christ's name, amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap. Thank God for his light. Come on, thank God for his light and his blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We thank you for saving us. The prayer teams are coming now. You're going to see in just a minute some nice-looking men and ladies that are up here. They're men of prayer, women of prayer. If the women would like to pray with the women, the men would like to come and pray. If you need healing prayer, please come. The rest of you, you're dismissed with the blessing of the Lord. If you're joining me in the welcome weekend, that's to my left, your right, go right on down the hall. We'll meet you there in 5 minutes. God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.